it's good to see everybody, and or maybe be seen. I can't see y'all, but you know how it is. And so we're working through the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher that ever preached, and that's a Sermon on the Mount by our dear Lord Jesus. And it has been called by some the Kingdom Manifesto, if you will, the Bill of Rights, if you, or however you want to look at it, the if Jesus is going to have a kingdom, and if he's going to sit down and tell his disciples this is what the kingdom's going to look like, then this is the place where he chose to do it. At the first of his ministry, took everybody away, and people followed him, the Bible says, and he sat down and he began to talk to them. And he starts with these beatitudes that Brett taught about, and those were kind of the kingdom characteristics. And what I mean by then is the characteristics of the people in the kingdom. They are blessed because they're humble. They're blessed because they're meek. They're blessed because they hunger and thirst after righteousness. And it's the blessings of the of what God does when he births someone into his kingdom. And they see God because they're merciful, and every time you are, you do, and all that. And so, and then we looked last week at a setup passage to talk to you about the difference between the outsiders and the insiders, and the seed of Cain and the seed of the woman. And everything I'm talking about in this thing is about the seed of the woman. Now, Jesus is going to make reference to the seed of Cain. He's going to make reference to the people who are outside of the kingdom. And he's going to make reference to a particular group of people who are outside of the kingdom. And guess who that is? Who is it? That's right. So he's going to be making reference to a particular group of people who are outside of the kingdom who think they're inside the kingdom. Religious people, the Pharisees. And he's going to talk about the difference between us and them. Between the people who are inside the family of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. All of those are synonyms. The church. Synonyms, God's people, his elect, his chosen people, his royal priesthood, all those people. We're that, and he's going to talk about our characteristics. And many times we look at the Sermon on the Mount like it's a bunch of commands. It's like Jesus kind of amplifying his commands or something. It's really not that. What it is more is the characteristics of the kingdom people. So when he does tell us to do things, he'll tell us to do things in our passage tonight, but he's not telling us to do things like to come out from nowhere. And next week, you're going to begin seeing this. He's going to unpack this. He has six different manifestations of how the people in kingdom's righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, and you'll see those. We'll unpack each of those. What we'll do is lay that, make the case next week, and then unpack the first one, and then you'll see that pattern flowing. But one of the things that Jesus does constantly is that he does tell us to do something, but he tells us to do something not in order to be something, but because we are something. And in other words, it's this. You're citizens of this kingdom. Therefore, this is how you behave. This is how you act. This is the spirit I've given you. This is how you treat your neighbor. All that kind of stuff. It's because you're citizens. I don't know how many of you got up bright and early to watch the coronation of the king yesterday. I'm sure every one of you did. Perhaps stayed up all night celebrating. And but I thought it was really cool and watched it. And let me just tell you this, you know, there's a great picture there if you can see it. It's a kingdom within a kingdom, if you will. It's called the United Kingdom, and it has a king, and the people that serve the kingdom have particular responsibilities. They have a way they have to act, and they can dishonor the kingdom. They can even step outside the kingdom. We've seen that happen with one dishonored the kingdom, King and Prince Andrew, and one stepped outside the kingdom, Prince Harry. I mean, they can do all of those things, but if you're going to be in the kingdom, here's what's expected of you. This is the service that's required of you, if you will. And so if you think about it that way, and that's all in the natural, and that's all, you know, guys play acting, but they weren't trying to play act. They were trying to set something up that was representative, that was kind of like that over their nation. They were trying to say there's something that's greater than us. And it has a representative thing that looks down on us. That's why he's the head of the Church of England, the king is. Anyways, not to unpack all that. But I do want you to see it this way. When God calls you an ambassador, when God calls you a priest in his kingdom, when God says that the kingdom is a royal priesthood, that is, you're not only a priest, but you're royalty. That is, you are Prince Matt and Prince Brett, Princess Devin. That's who we really are. That's not a joke. That's how God treats us. We're a royal priesthood, and he's the king, and we're his subjects, and we're in a kingdom serving the royal king. Does that make sense? And I'm a little bit fired up about it because I watched that whole thingamajigger this morning, and I was studying this, and the metaphor just came alive to me. But it is the truth of how God lays it out for us. And so one of the things that we do, and this particular thing that he does when he lays it out, is after he's talked about the blessedness and the blessed characteristics of the people who are in the kingdom, he begins with our first responsibility. It begins with our first responsibility. And he begins saying that we're ambassadors, and in a certain way. And by the way, I hesitate even on some of these texts, because there's almost no text that I've looked at in the Sermon on the Mount that everybody isn't painfully familiar with. Not painfully, but, you know, we're familiar with them all. I mean, whether you're lost or saved, you've heard these texts that are in the Great Sermon. This is the greatest sermon by the greatest person that ever lived, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It was him who is the preacher, and him who is the teacher. And so these things that you'll see are great. And so you say, well, if we all know it all, why would we go back through it? And what's the answer? Because why does the coach have the pregame? It's like, we all know we got to go out there and do, you know, take one for the team. But we need to hear him say it to us. And the Lord says to, he left us his word so that he can speak it back into our hearts over and over again. And so this is very simple, three verses. And it is a responsibility of the kingdom citizens. It's a non-negotiable responsibility, and it has an impact that is startling. And an impact that you'll readily recognize. And as soon as we read these three verses, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. Let's read them together, if you will. You are the salt of the earth. Let's go ahead and just read them out loud together. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. King, our King, the King of Kings. And so, this is a very famous passage. We're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And we are who? We are who? Yeah, the church, God's people, kingdom citizens, the royal priesthood. That's who he's talking about. And he said that you're the salt of the earth. And then he says you're the light of the world. And he says that you, on the one hand, have to be what you are, or bad things happen. You lose your effectiveness. That is, people quit listening to you when I put you here for a reason. And then on the lamp thing, you lose your effectiveness if somebody hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine, say the little kids, right? And so if we hide it under a bushel, we lose our effectiveness. So let's just talk about what God's trying to tell us here. I'm going to start with light and work back up to salt. So light, Jesus is the light that gives life to all men. Amen? That's John 1:4. Jesus is the light that gives life to all men. So we're going to play scientist. And if there's any scientists in here, please forgive me now. And don't say you got that a little wrong. Okay? So, but here's the truth. So, you know, light is like, if it were to be made a particle, and people try to play with this, nobody really knows. But if it were to be made a particle, it's called a what? That's right, a photon. And a photon really is kind of us trying to measure or quantify a little blip of this electromagnetic energy, if you will, that we call light. It has no weight, it has no speed, it doesn't exist in time. And what it does is, it is the life of everything. It's the life of everything. When you take the light away, things happen. Interestingly enough, with trees, this is an easy one because we're in the South. I learned this from Audie in the reverse. I said, what triggers the leaves to fall off? And he goes, well, it's simple. It's photosynthesis. And, you know, I remembered that from like something grade, but I didn't remember exactly what it was. But it's simple, right? So a photon, that is light, actually hits a tree. And when that energy hits the tree, it does something. It makes a chemical thing happen in the tree. And that chemical thing that happens in the tree turns, makes the green, you know, leaves come out. Makes the tree come to life. And do you know what causes the trees to, the leaves to begin to get brown and fall off? It's not coldness. That's what I thought it was when I moved to the South. It's shortening the day or lessening the light. And when the light is lessened, the life goes out of the tree. Does that make sense? Now, I just want you to think about this. Jesus says this. He says, well, let me tell you something about you. I have enlightened you. I've given you life. I'm the light that's given you life. And so you have life. And now I'm telling you this is what you're supposed to be to the world. You're supposed to be the light to the world. And if you look at the world, if you look at the newspaper, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, CNN, NBC, Fox, I don't care what you look at. And if you see winter, it's not the lost people's fault. It's the church's fault. Because the church was supposed to be the light to the world. The church was supposed to be the salt to the world. What does that mean? Both of those, if you read the commentaries, especially the old commentaries, there wasn't any question about what light and salt was. It was the truth, doctrinal truth, the word of God being spoken to the people. And if you want to think about this in the Old Testament, who was the person who spoke to the king and spoke to the nations? The prophet, somebody said, I think. If you didn't, I read you in. But it was the prophet. And what did he do? He spoke God's word to the people. And what did he tell the people? You're going off God's path and your nation's headed for destruction if you don't go out. And what happens is we have in our world right now so many things that you could say it is winter. It's truly winter. You just look at the way that we are morally and spiritually, and our homes are falling apart, and nobody cares about the things of God, and the in the glory of God, in the beauty of marriage, let's say, in the beauty of family, and the beauty of hard work, and the beauty of making our communities flourish, and to the glory of God. And what happens is that because the church has stopped being the light that was supposed to make the community glorify God, then the communities look like winter. And God didn't say, let me just tell you, this passage is the missionary passage of the Sermon on the Mount. There's another one at the end. But this is the missionary passage. I didn't leave you here for you. I didn't leave you here even for each other. I set you on a hill, and you're supposed to light the whole place so that the whole place glorifies God, so that your cities glorify God, so that your homes glorify God, so that your nation glorifies God. Why? Because my church is setting the standard, and they're holy, and they're showing to people what a godly family looks like, and they're showing people what hard work looks like, and they're showing people what it looks like to love your enemy, and what it looks like to love your neighbor before yourself. And they're demonstrating the activity of a family of God, of a kingdom of God that's so glorious and wonderful that it literally lights the whole town up. And God says to his people, you're the light of the world and you're the salt of the earth. And if you don't do your job, things go really bad. But he doesn't just say things go really bad for the earth. He says things go really bad for you because people quit looking to the church. They quit looking to the church for guidance. They quit looking to the church for a place of peace and a place of joy, a place to have their answers solved, a place to run to when they're afraid, a place to... And the thing is that that's to the church's shame. It is to the church's shame. I'm not a religion guy, but the church as a family must be a place that is longed for. It must be a place that's longed for. It must be a place not where you feel judged and condemned like the righteous Pharisees that we'll learn about that Jesus critiques in this sermon, but it must be a place where people can come to find hope. And like Brett always says when he gets up here, a place of grace, a place of freedom, a place where you can bring your messed up self and join a bunch of other messed up people, people who've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, who've been rescued, who are stumbling along, glorifying him. It's not like that we're a perfect people, but Christian people are people who, when they fall, go to the Lord. We live in a lifestyle of repentance. It's not like we don't stumble. We do. But we stumble in a different way than the world does. And we get our arms around each other, and we pick each other back up and dust each other back off, and we glorify God. And so let me just say that over and over again, it is not only the word that we do, but the life that we live, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And so there is an aspect, if you go back and read the prologue to John where I started, you have been lit, if you will, by God. If you think of him as the sun, you're the moon, but you are a light. And you are a light in darkness, in the night of, and you are, and light brings life. And so we must bring life to our communities so that when whatever we eat or drink or whatever we do it all to the glory of God. And what does that mean? So then how then, let me say this just simply, you get what I'm saying, but let me say it simply also, how then do we light the community? Well, you just think about it. Every single thing that you do, Your friends, your mothers, your fathers, your workers, your bosses, your neighbors, your whatever it is that you are. Whatever it is, whatever role God has put you in your community. And in every one of those roles, you are to be the light to X, your workplace. Be the light to your neighbor. Be the light to your wife. Be the light to your children. Be the light in your school. All of the above, right? I mean, that's what it is. In your school board meetings, wherever it is, God didn't say, I want y'all to be lights of the world. That's not what he said, did he? He said, you are the light of the world. You're either effective or you're not. And you're effective when you're glorifying God with what you do, when you're glorifying God with what you say, when you're reflecting the sun and lighting up the dark place. That's when you're effective to the glory of God. And so that's how he kicks off. He tells us what the characteristics of his people are and in the kingdom. And then he launches out with this great missionary statement. And he says, listen, I'm going to set you as a spiritual kingdom in a world that is not spiritual, in a world that is dark. And actually, I'm going to take each of you. Think about this glorious and smart thing, as if he's the smartest guy that ever lived. I'm going to take each of you have lived in that kingdom of darkness, and I'm going to transfer you into the kingdom of my glorious light so that you can be light to the kingdom of darkness. That is a missionary statement. That's the mission of each of us. And one of the things that we've tried to do is to model missionary lifestyles, to try to say, missions isn't just some committee in a church. It's the lifestyle of every believer. And this particular passage is kind of the ethos or the guts of it, if you will. And that is that I have, and let me tell you something that's interesting too. I don't know if I'm making too much of my metaphor here, so if I am, somebody, you know, can critique me later. But I don't know if you knew this, but every single thing, plant or animal, bends toward the light. Did you know that? Like if there's a tree and there's a corner and the light's coming this way, after a little while you'll see the tree bent over trying to get to the light. Do you realize that though they fight us, they need us? Do you realize that God's way is the only way? Do you realize that the world is full of chaos and God is peace? And his people can act out peace and can show the world God's peaceful ways? And so I just want to encourage you with this passage. The Lord Jesus launches his whole thing with a very crosswindy statement. And he says, you're the salt of the world. And you're the light, you're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And he says, it matters. And if you don't do your job, you'll lose your effectiveness. And so let us be who God has made us to be. And remember, when you're kingdom citizens, let me go back to my metaphor. You can take your prince duties and you can blow it real bad and dishonor the kingdom. Or you can do your duty well. And we do it well because we have a glorious king that we serve. Our glorious king, unlike the king that I saw coronated yesterday, has given his life for his people. And so we serve him out of that great joy and obligation. Lord, we love you. And we're thankful that you have made us light of the world. It's an extraordinary responsibility. We kind of want to pass it back to you and say, no, you're the light of the world, you know, but you've passed it off to us. And you've said, no, you are. And so we say yes and amen. And you're our king, and we serve you. We're your subjects. And if you say we're the light of the world, then we'll go light it. In Jesus' name, amen.